Luhansk, que en conjunto conforman la región del Donbass, en el este ucraniano, junto a la frontera rusa. Y tercero, el reconocimiento del traspaso a Rusia de la península de Crimea, poblada mayoritariamente por rusoparlantes y que históricamente había pertenecido a Rusia, habiendo sido transferida a Ucrania en 1954, cuando ambas repúblicas eran parte de la Unión Soviética. Por cierto, el presidente ruso Vladimir Putin y los militares de ese país también hicieron algunos cálculos erróneos en el planeamiento de la invasión a Ucrania. Lo que ellos esperaban que sería una operación expedita en que la mayor parte del territorio ucraniano sería ocupado, en verdad se transformó en una campaña mucho más compleja, en gran medida porque los países occidentales han estado proveyendo con armamento y adiestramiento a las tropas ucranianas, lo que les ha permitido resistir la ofensiva rusa y en algunos casos incluso recuperar terreno. En los últimos días, Rusia sí pudo adjudicarse una importante victoria cuando los soldados ucranianos pertenecientes a un grupo nacionalista de corte fascista, el destacamento Azov, finalmente se rindió en lo que era su último reducto, una antigua planta siderúrgica en Mariupol. Esta ciudad finalmente ha sido capturada por los rusos, que intentarían hacerse fuertes en toda la costa sur de Ucrania. Al mismo tiempo, sin embargo, la OTAN se anotó una victoria táctica al lograr atraer a sus filas a dos países que hasta ahora eran neutrales, Suecia y Finlandia. Ambos podrían ser admitidos en la alianza militar liderada por Estados Unidos si es que las objeciones de Turquía se logran superar. En estricto sentido, el que tenía una tradición de neutralidad era Suecia. Finlandia estuvo en dos ocasiones en guerra con la entonces Unión Soviética, primero en 1939 y luego en 1941, oportunidad esta última en que para atacar a los soviéticos, los finlandeses entonces se aliaron con la Alemania nazi, un detalle que no siempre se menciona. En todo caso, el ingreso de estos dos países a la OTAN sería un gesto más de parte de las potencias occidentales de rediseñar el orden mundial, tratando de reafirmar la supremacía de Estados Unidos como poder global, algo que, por cierto, no sienta bien con Rusia, todavía una importante potencia nuclear, y que en estos momentos se siente amenazada por el cerco que le quiere imponer la OTAN, y con China, que en este conflicto se mantiene silenciosa, pero que como mayor poder económico y también militar, seguramente tampoco ve con muy buenos ojos el amanecente poderío militar que Estados Unidos y sus países satélites de la OTAN están amasando. The Weekly Review. War in Ukraine unleashes a new world order. Soon to be 3 months since the outbreak of hostilities in Ukraine, we can see how what was first characterized as a focused conflict has now taken on a global dimension. This is not so much in the sense of unleashing a new world war, as is occasionally raised in some somewhat doomsday analysis, but rather in terms of the effects of the conflict. The war itself has the same protagonist, Russia and Ukraine, but behind the scenes there are many secondaries, or rather less visible but probably more decisive actors. The United States and its European allies play a central role in this respect, supplying the Ukrainian forces with weapons worth several million dollars. However, it is the economic effects that are being felt most strongly at the global level. Rising oil and natural gas prices, for example, have been the main factor in unleashing an inflation that is now global in scope. Since the increase in fuel prices, a chain of new price increases has followed, especially affecting foodstuff. Needless to say, this global inflation is mainly hurting the lower income sectors in all countries, while also harming the poorest nations. The imposition of sanctions on Russia by the United States, Canada, and most European countries, in turn, has had negative repercussions worldwide. All this, in turn, as if it had been following a script written in advance. The president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, letting time pass. And, as Lula da Silva said in his interview in Time magazine, as if wanting war because this confrontation was already planned by the United States. In fact, Washington never wanted a diplomatic solution and preferred to encourage the Ukrainian government to refuse to negotiate, in particular the issue of its possible accession to NATO, precisely the most irritating point in the relations between Kiev and Moscow. This despite the fact that Zelensky himself, when he was a presidential candidate, had stated that he would seek a diplomatic solution. As will be recalled, the Russian demands were not exorbitant. First, that Ukraine remain neutral and not join NATO, because that presupposed a provocative threat to Russia. Second, respect for the Russian-speaking minority in Ukraine, including an autonomous status for Donetsk and Luhansk, which together make up the Donbas region in eastern Ukraine. And third, the recognition of the transfer to Russia of the Crimean Peninsula, populated mostly by Russian speakers, and which historically belonged to Russia, having been transferred to Ukraine in 1954, when both republics were part of the Soviet Union. Incidentally, Russian President Vladimir Putin and the Russian military also made some miscalculations in planning the invasion of Ukraine. What they expected to be an expeditious operation in which most of the Ukrainian territory will be occupied actually turned into a much more complex campaign, largely because Western countries have been supplying Ukrainian troops with weapons and training, which has allowed them to resist the Russian offensive, and in some cases even regained ground. In the last few days, Russia was able to claim an important victory when Ukrainian soldiers belonging to a fascist nationalist group, the Azov Detachment, finally surrendered in what was their last stronghold, a former steel plant in Mariupol. This city has finally been captured by the Russians, who will try to gain a foothold along the entire southern coast of Ukraine. At the same time, however, NATO scored a tactical victory by managing to attract to its ranks two hitherto neutral countries, Sweden and Finland. Both could be admitted to the US-led military alliance if Turkey's objections are overcome. Strictly speaking, it was Sweden that had a tradition of neutrality. Finland was twice at war with the then Soviet Union, first in 1939 and then in 1941, the latter occasion when, in order to attack the Soviets, the Finns then allied with Nazi Germany, a detail that is not always mentioned. In any case, the entry of these two countries into NATO will be yet another gesture on the part of the Western powers to redesign the world order in an attempt to reaffirm the supremacy of the United States as a global power, something which, by the way, does not sit well with Russia, still an important nuclear power, and which at this moment feels threatened by the encirclement that NATO wants to impose on it. And with China, which in this conflict remains silent, but which is, as a major economic and military power, surely does not see the threatening military power that the United States and its NATO satellites are amassing with very good eyes either. Good day.
Y ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 22 de mayo del 2022. Entre los anuncios de interés público tenemos, primero, dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera dosis a las personas que tengan 18 años y más. La provincia también ha anunciado que se empezará a dar la segunda vacuna de refuerzo o cuarta dosis a los mayores de 60 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clicksante en francés o en inglés.
Eventos. El Consulado General de la República Argentina en Montreal anuncia que se celebrará un nuevo aniversario de la Revolución de Mayo con el concierto Homenaje al Tango, que se realizará el 25 de mayo a las 18 horas en L'École de Musique de Saint-Denis. El consulado espera que los puedan acompañar para celebrar juntos la fecha patria.
Celebración de la Fiesta Nacional de Argentina en la Petite Mar, esto es en el 5035 de la calle Saint-Denis. Esto es el domingo 29 de mayo a las 20 horas en la Petite Mar con Flavia García en voz, José María Gianelli en piano y los artistas invitados Luis López y Gabriela Moluí. Entrada $15. Para mayor información, escribir a Trío Argentino a perdón, trío argentino tango a comercial o arroba gmail.com.
Y cursos. Curso de cueca chilena a cargo del grupo Arco Iris, todos los sábados hasta el 18 de junio en el 7920 Boulevard Saint-Laurent. Esto es detrás del puesto de policía. Información en los teléfonos siguientes: 438-881-8190 o 514-655-7808.
En la sección publicaciones, las ediciones en francés e inglés del libro Presencia chilena en la Belle Provence se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Université de Montréal, esto es en el 3200 de la calle Jean Briand, en la librería Bertrand, en el 430 de Saint-Pierre, esto es en el viejo Montreal, en el internet, en la cadena Renombre, en la librería Argos, en el 1841A de la calle Saint-Catherine Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph, 2220 de McGill College Avenue. El precio es de $10 más impuestos.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá. Chubascos con una temperatura máxima de 22 grados. Para esta noche, más chubascos con una mínima de 9 grados.
Recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que deseen difundir en el fichero latino, comuníquense con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/, tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del internet. Entre el sitio de CKUTET en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado, presionando Latin Time.
Y mañana, día feriado, fiesta de la Reina Victoria y de los Patriotas. Todas las oficinas públicas, sean federales, provinciales o municipales, permanecerán cerradas. Igualmente, todos los bancos y el servicio de transporte público en la ciudad funcionará con horario de día domingo.
Solo le pido a Dios que el dolor no me sea indiferente, que la reseca muerte si hay sola sin haber hecho lo suficiente. Solo le pido a Dios que
la vida me regala una caricia, una sensación perdida, la canción de la huida, una carta que comienza y nunca se termina. Tal vez tu lápiz escribiera vete, déjame, olvídame, pero tus lágrimas sobre el papel me gritaban vuelve. Llama. No brilla el sol y mi guitarra ya no canta. Llama, llámame. Las batallas perdidas van calándome en el alma y lloro. Hoy solamente lloro. Las ganas me pueden, me llevan hacia el sitio donde nunca me faltes, donde compartir el frío. Si juntamos el paso será más ya no el camino. Tal vez tu lápiz escribiera vete, déjame, olvídame, pero tus lágrimas sobre el papel me gritaban vuelve. Cabeza he levantado un muro y lloro, tiemblo y me derrumbo, y no hay manera de encontrar mi rumbo y lloro, tiemblo y me derrumbo, en mi cabeza he levantado un muro y lloro, tiemblo y me derrumbo, y no hay manera de encontrar mi rumbo y lloro, tiemblo y me derrumbo, en mi cabeza he levantado un muro y lloro, tiemblo y me derrumbo, y no hay manera de encontrar mi rumbo y lloro, tiemblo y me derrumbo, en mi cabeza he levantado un muro.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy.
This is John Figliozzi of Clifton Park, New York. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, May the 22nd, 2022. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and we thank you for tuning in to CKUT Radio here in Montreal, 90.3 FM, and online and streaming at ckut.ca. We are here every Sunday morning with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. We invite you to contact us. Any questions or comments, radioreport@yahoo.com is our email address. We have a Facebook group with a lot of new members this week. We want to welcome a whole bunch of you. We welcome Mike, Mark, Mary, Lewis, another Mark, Joseph, Pete, Imad, Todd, and Wade, bringing us to 783 members. If you'd like to join the group, simply find us on Facebook, International Radio Report. Join the group, and you can be a part of all the news and information that gets exchanged on that group. We also have our YouTube channel if you'd like to go and listen to our shows at your leisure. youtube.com/internationalradioreport. We have 647 subscribers there, and we invite you to subscribe as well. So we have quite a bit of information for you this week. We do want to apologize for missing a story last week, which we should have talked about, which is the Dayton Hamvention that will be, I guess, wrapping up as we're talking to you on the show on Sunday. I know quite a few people that were heading out to Ohio for the largest gathering of amateur radio operators in North America, the annual Dayton Hamvention. They're quite happy to be back in person again. We hope everyone is having a good time or is on their way back home. So let's get going with one piece of local information from the Montreal area. And this is a bit of a surprise. The story just broke on Friday morning. Terry and Ted host weekly show on Light 106.7. And this is via the Light 106.7 webpage written by Derek Scott. A Hudson West Island Montreal breakfast staple is back on the weekend menu. Saturday Morning with Terry and Ted debuts May the 28th at 9 a.m. local Eastern Time on CHSV, Light 106.7 FM, featuring 3 hours of light favorites and the trademark camaraderie that defined Terry DeMonte and Ted Bird during a 20-year run at the pinnacle of Montreal morning radio. Terry DeMonte and Ted Bird are back where they belong, on the radio together, said Light 106.7 program director Ted Silver. We are beyond thrilled to welcome the Terry and Ted Saturday morning show to Light 106.7. The weekend is about to get a whole lot better. As a broadcaster, I'm happy to have them on our team. As a longtime Terry and Ted fan, I can't wait to turn on my radio May the 28th. My Saturdays were open, said DeMonte, who's been living in semi-retirement in British Columbia since bringing down the curtain on a 40-plus year Canadian Radio Hall of Fame career in 2021. Ted Bird mused, how come his name is still first? Bird, who's been Light 106.7's FM's only morning man since the station signed on in 2015. They kid, of course. Make their chemistry and good-natured banter part of your weekend. Saturday Mornings with Terry and Ted premieres May 28th at 9 a.m. on CHSV Light 106.7 and online at Light, L-I-T-E, 1067.ca and on the iHeart Radio app and your smart speaker. So this station is a little bit on the fringe for some people in the Montreal area, particularly if you're in the eastern part of Montreal. It originally was a community radio station for Saint-Lazare, Hudson, Vaudreuil area off the west end of the Montreal Island. They are operated by the company Evanov, and they have sort of reached out more into the West Island part of Montreal, where there's a fairly large Anglo community. But bringing Terry and Ted back together is a bit of a coup for them, I guess. They were a team, as they say, for many, many years in Montreal radio, working at Chaume. They worked at a few other stations over the years as well. But bringing them back together is quite surprising. I think a lot of people will be checking it out. Certainly, Terry DeMonte was a very popular announcer. And when they did work together, it was one of the top-rated shows in Montreal. So we'll see how it all goes. I was speculating whether this is going to be done remotely, though, because it is only one day a week. And they do say in the article that Terry DeMonte has been living in British Columbia. So it could be a sort of a hybrid show with Bird here in the Montreal region and DeMonte being out in British Columbia. So anyways, if you're interested in that, you can check it out starting on May the 28th.
Next, we go to Russia that closed the Canadian broadcaster CBC bureaus. This is via the Regina Leader Post via Reuters Newswire. Russia's foreign ministry said on Wednesday it was closing the Moscow Bureau of Canada CBC and withdrawing visas and accreditations from the public broadcaster's journalists after Ottawa banned Russian state TV station Russia Today. We regret we continue to notice open attacks on the Russian media from the countries of the so-called collective West, who call themselves civilized, says Maria Zakharova, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman. A decision has been taken to make retaliatory, I underscore, retaliatory measures in relation to the actions of Canada, the closure of the Moscow Bureau of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, including the annulling of the accreditations and visas of their journalists. CBC's Moscow Bureau did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Zakharova said Ottawa had chosen what she cast as a Russophobic path, including censorship of the media. Canada on Tuesday introduced a bill in the Senate that will ban President Vladimir Putin and around 1,000 members of his government and military from entering the country as it continues to ratchet up sanctions over Russia's February 24th invasion of Ukraine. In March, Putin signed a law imposing a jail term of up to 15 years for spreading intentionally fake news about the military, prompting some Western media organizations to pull their reporters out of Russia. Russian officials do not use the word invasion and say Western media have provided an excessively partial narrative of the war in Ukraine that ignores Russia's concern about the enlargement of NATO and alleged persecution of Russian speakers. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has repeatedly scolded the West for what he says is an undemocratic crackdown on Russia's state media organizations, which he says provided an alternative to Western narratives. Putin casts the war as an inevitable confrontation with the United States, which he accuses of threatening Russia by meddling in its backyard and enlarging the NATO military alliance. Ukraine says it's fighting an imperial-style land grab and that Putin's claims of genocide and persecution of Russian speakers are nonsense. So, yeah, you know, this is what we expect as, you know, the West blocks media, then Russia blocks media, and it's kind of a game going on. And, you know, 15 years of jail for spreading what they deem to be fake news, I mean, there's probably a lot of reporters that are not sure they want to report on anything Russian.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme circumstances. It would be hard to imagine being thrown in a gulag somewhere for simply reporting, doing your job.
Yep.
But yeah, things are pretty serious, and you know, it's a he said sort of thing going on now. So I guess it's not surprising that CBC was there as long as it was. I know watching things on TV and hearing reports and seeing CBC reporters standing in Moscow was felt a little bit weird.
Yep.
To see that. So I guess everybody is out now. Whether they'll, you know, set up shop in neighboring countries or whatever, maybe, you know, rather than coming back home. It'll be interesting to see how the coverage might change from the CBC, both radio and television and online. This is a really strange story we have next, and it comes from a number of sources. It started with a discussion by Mike Cooper in Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. The headline, VOA frequency schedule on their website? Well, apparently not exactly. Mike Cooper begins by saying, the last page I had bookmarked for a current list of VOA frequencies now redirects to another page which lists programs but no frequencies. Does anyone know of a VOA webpage where a current frequency list is available? Bill Scott in Rochester, New York responded saying, I spent some time searching yesterday trying to find a frequency list to no avail. I contacted them at their complaints link. Let's see if they respond. He did get a response. Hello, Mr. Scott. Thank you for contacting VOA. Please use this link to get the shortwave frequency list. We'll check whether all of the frequencies are still operable. Regards, Stephen Springer, editor, News Standards and Best Practices, Voice of America. Note that this page is just about African frequencies. And I suspect it's out of date, too. I emailed him back asking for an overall frequency schedule. He's out of town, but promised to respond soon. Mike Cooper responds that this page is actually from June 2016, according to its source code. The lack of frequency information is not unique to the English service. The site in French also lacks any mention of how to listen on shortwave. Bill Scott responds, "Yep, I figured that. I heard from Steven Springer again, and he says he's looking into getting us more information. I suspect VOA has dropped maintenance on an overall frequency list, so I'm not holding my breath. I realize that other sources like HFCC, EIB iSpace, and AOKI keep lists, but they either have to get the info from monitoring or from the source. Now that we have opened this can of worms, I want to know if the VOA publishes an official source." And finally, John Filiosi responds saying, "This situation is beyond ridiculous. It would take the person or persons responsible for VOA public info all of half an hour to assemble or edit this information."
This is so ridiculous. And you know what? It's not unique to Voice of America. Over the last months, especially when we're away, and it's almost every broadcaster. Some are a little easier than others, but try it. Just as an experiment, go to a couple of broadcasters and try to find their frequencies. I bet you're going to have fun.
Yeah, it's complicated on many different station sites. I know we had someone in CIDX put together a list of the BBC English transmissions with frequencies, simply because it was really hard to sort of go in and try to isolate certain things on the BBC site as well. But this with VOA, I mean, you think of the amount of money that goes into VOA broadcasting that's spent on this operation. You know, if you can't get it off of the website, you've got to try and find it somehow. How do you find it? By listening to the radio station and hoping that they put the schedule out? Not many of them do that either. You know, unless you find them and you happen to catch them maybe at the beginning or the end of the transmission, and they might say something about frequencies. But this is really strange. I mean, you know, how can they have 2016 information for station schedules on VOA on some of the pages? Just doesn't make any sense to me that, like John said, it is beyond ridiculous.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, the sun is very active, a lot of sunspot groups, but one particular sunspot group, AR3014, is crackling with M-class solar flares. It's a huge sunspot group. So this one could actually cause some interesting propagation when it actually behaves well, and of course some fade-outs, there are going to be more flares. The solar flux reached 180 this week, which we haven't seen in a very, very long time. And it was showing, I mean, the propagation, even in the middle of the night. Yesterday, Rich McVicker was actually posting that he was hearing AWR in English from the Kazakhstan relay on 15515. And it was like 0230 UTC, which is pretty much darkness here. And it was coming in decently. And I mean, frequencies like Radio New Zealand 15720 are amazingly good lately. So it really shows that the uptick in the solar activity is really helping propagation, especially on the higher frequencies. So sunspot number 154, as we were recording, the sun is at solar flux 173. And well, it's going to be interesting conditions. But for that, you have to do one thing, which is very important, is turn on that radio and listen.
This is George Zeller of Cleveland. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Next, we have the FCC that will consider Franken FMs in June. This is by Paul McLean of Radio World. Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel has released a list of topics for the Commission's June meeting, and FM6, or 87.75 MHz, is on it. "We're asking about preserving established local programming for radio audiences. For years, some low-powered television stations licensed on Channel 6 have provided listeners local radio programming that was picked up on the FM dial. They are so-called FM6 stations. These stations sought to maintain this service and their existing audiences after the low-power TV digital transition by seeking commission approval to provide their analog radio service as a supplementary service." Rosenworcel said the commission will consider a proposal to allow these broadcasters to continue their existing FM6 radio service. provided that they meet certain conditions, including interference protection and the provision of a synchronous TV service to consumers. The Educational Media Foundation has been among those pressing the FCC for approval and clarification on the policies around FM6 stations. So these are, of course, in danger because of the move to the digital TV that is continuing, because there's just a handful of very low-powered TV stations still analog. So they're going to try here to maintain what is left of those low-powered FM stations that were available just there at the bottom of the FM band. So I hope it works. I mean, this is kind of cool and nice service. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there. A lot of these little low-powered broadcasts have educational purposes of all sorts.
I remember several years ago driving home from the Winterfest near Philadelphia, and you sort of come up and around just on the outskirts of New York City. And we were always checking the radio at the low end. I would put it on 87.75, which is where Channel 6 analog was broadcasting. Sure enough, this signal just came booming through. We didn't know what it was. It was a foreign language, Asian language. We weren't sure what, if it was Mandarin or Japanese or Korean or what have you. One of those languages, though, it was just like super loud and clear. And we didn't, of course, know what it was at the time. But when we got home, I started doing some digging around. And it turns out that there's a Korean church in the New York City area. So apparently there's like a camera set up with a still picture or something of the church, and you were hearing the audio of the Sunday morning service coming through in Korean. So if you're driving around wherever you live or at home on your radio, go down to the beginning of the FM band. 87.75 is the frequency. If you used to have a Channel 6 like we did here in Montreal on that frequency, you could have listened to it at any time. So check your area. Tune it to 87.7 or 87.8 in that area and see if you hear anything. You may have one of these, as they call them, Franken FM sort of quasi-TV radio stations operating on that frequency. Next, we have an update on a shortwave radio station that looks like it's about to come back on the air. This is the religious broadcaster WMLK, the Assemblies of Yahweh, which is in Bethel, Pennsylvania. Now, they've been off the air for quite some time, planning to get back on with new transmitter, antennas, etc. We have news from Walter Salmanou via Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. He got this message that was just posted on the WMLK Radio Facebook page. They say, quote, "We are thankful for the great turnout today at WMLK as we got together to wrap up some projects in anticipation of the engineer's arrival. We installed a negative pressure relief system, tiled the PSM enclosure, isolated and protected the perimeter tri-bonding ties, and did a bunch of general cleanup. The commissioning engineers are scheduled to arrive Monday of next week, with the RF engineer arriving a week or so after that. We are thankful to Yahweh that he has moved on so many hearts to sacrifice their time to help to push this project forward, and for his continued guidance as WMLK upgrade project nears completion." So Walt goes on to say, "One never knows. Keep an eye out for 9275 kilohertz, possibly coming back on the air." And that's where WMLK used to broadcast. It's been quite a while since they've been off the air. So maybe there'll be some tests popping up on the frequency as well in the near future.
Yep, and it's been also quite a while that we have off and on news of they're coming back, not coming back, and not sure they're coming back. So hopefully this time's the good time. So monitor 9275 kilohertz. There's this study that finds that radio listening is up 31% in the last 6 months, and this is via radio online. A study was conducted in March and April for FMR Associates and Eastland Ratings clients to determine usage levels of local AM/FM radio. Shows that in the last 6 months, weekly AM/FM radio listening is on the increase. 31% indicate they are listening to radio more compared to 18% that are listening less. This finding is regardless of sex, age, or market rank. This unique finding bodes well for traditional radio growing as the pandemic comes to an end, and even as more audio options such as podcasts and streaming platforms are available. While weekly AM/FM listening is up across all ages as compared to 6 months ago, it is greatest among adults 25 to 44 at 37%. Men and women are equally increasing their listening time with AM/FM radio. More people going back to work, commuting, and some cutting back on subscription audio or video services are among the primary factors cited for increased AM/FM consumption. Current weekly AM/FM radio listening is at 86% in the 25 to 64 age group. Significantly, QM listening is strong and consistent regardless of age, sex, market rank, or geographic region. The national survey of 25 to 64 years old adult from the thousands surveyed each month by Eastland was demographically balanced and geographically representative. So, you know, it's not surprising. I think as the pandemic is ending, people are going to work, the commute. Of course, what do you do when you commute? Most people in a car will listen to the radio while they do. So I'm not surprised that there is an increase in radio listening in general.
The number is really surprising. And like they say, I'm sure the radio station owners are pretty excited about this to see that the audiences are coming back. Yep. I don't imagine there's not a whole lot of variety. We know that on the FM band either. But, if you dig around and you find some interesting stations, some of the campus stations, community yeah. stations, you know, there are some alternatives available to you out there. Like Jill always says, turn on the radio and listen. Well, you got to turn it on and tune it as well as listen. You know, go around the dial and sample what's available in your own area. You might find a few nice surprises if you start searching them out. So many people just lock a radio on, a favorite station and don't press the buttons and don't turn the dial. So that's what this. You know, we've been doing this show since 1987, and we've been telling people that every single week. You've got to go out there and sample what's out there. And,
absolutely.
Rather than complain about how bad what you're listening to is, rather than do that, go away from it. Don't listen yep. to it. Go somewhere else and listen to something different.
Turn around.
So there's always something that might surprise you out there if you tune the dial.
Yep.
So our last story today, we head off to Venezuela, and this comes from Radio Reporter. Two what they call inconvenient radio stations in Venezuela have been shut down. President Nicolas Maduro Moros continues to get tough on non-aligned radio stations. Two important stations in San Juan de los Moros, 50 kilometers southwest of Caracas in the state of Guarico, are the latest to suffer. Radio Exitos has been on the air on 90.5 megahertz for 20 years, while Radio Cale FM on 98.5 has exceeded 40 years of activity. Both radio stations were stripped of their licenses by CONATEL, which is the National Telecommunications Commission in Venezuela. Although both radio stations were critical of regional and national government policies, but Anderson Tovar, opposition political leader in the state of Guarico, called the closures illegal. How many stories have we had like that?
Yeah, we had one last week about Hungary, so it's kind of is the same type of story here again and again. When you talk about things that the government doesn't want, one of the ways that they have to shut you down is, you've got that license to renew and maybe we won't give it to you.
You know, it's kind of nice here that our broadcasters, even our national broadcasters, somewhat independent of the ruling government. I mean, they get their money from the ruling government, but the government really doesn't have a lot of say in what, CBC broadcasts or what have you. But in so many countries, the governing body is really the government. And whoever is in charge doesn't like what some stations are saying against them or criticizing them or what have you. They seem to take advantage of controlling and just pull the plugs or cancel the licenses, put pressure on them. Sometimes it even gets worse than that. And we've had many of those types of stories where people have been injured, stations have been ransacked or set on fire. Some people have even been killed. So it is still a dangerous game out there.
And we have one upcoming ham radio contest.
Yeah, it's a quiet weekend coming up, but that's mainly because it's a big worldwide contest coming up. It is the CQ Worldwide WPX contest, the CW portion of it. We had the SSB portion of it a while back. This is running 0100 Zulu May 28th to 2359 Zulu May 29th, organized by CQ. The objective is for amateurs worldwide to contact as many amateurs and prefixes as possible during that contest period. The bands are 1.8, 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz. They are stressing that observance of the established band plans is strongly encouraged. So they don't want the CW operators going out of the CW portions of the bands, if at all possible. The mode, of course, is only a CW. So if you want to do some practicing of CW decoding, might be a good weekend to do it. Next weekend, there'll be lots and lots of stations at all different speeds as well. Some of the contesters will be operating at very high speed. Some of them use electronically generated Morse code as well, and they can adjust that to whatever speed they want. So sometimes you're going to hear some really high speed Morse code being used in big worldwide contests like this. But there will be stations from literally all over the world, many of them using special prefixes. So you might have to do a bit of research to figure out where some of these stations are as well, if they're using some of the lesser used prefixes for some of the countries.
And we are out of time.
Time flies. We hope you enjoyed today's show. We will post up a lot of these stories on our Facebook group so you can go and pull out more information on them. And we invite you to send along any stories that you may have that you think might be interesting to us and to our listeners. So we will catch you again next Sunday. We hope you will tune in to CKUT 90.3 FM next Sunday morning at 10:30 for the next edition of the International Radio Report. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Esta señal identifica a RNB, Canal Internacional, la voz de la República Bolivariana de Venezuela en el mundo. Yeah.